shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over radio station WWCR 4.84 megahertz and 5.89 megahertz. That's transmitters 3 and transmitter 4 shortwave, and radio station WVCQ 7.490 megahertz shortwave. Both of those stations do have internet streams of the program. You can also go directly to our website, www.kingidentity.com, KingIdentity.com. Go to our radio page, and you can see the links to the stations and also a listen live link at the bottom of our website. If you would like to participate in the broadcast tonight, you can call toll-free 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAHS-RACE, 877-924-7722. Also, our foreign listeners may not be able to hook up to a toll-free number. They can call directly 678-949-5091. Tonight, my guest is an illustrator whose drawings to wake up people to the truth are seen all over the internet. He's worked for the Department of Defense and is a master photographer. And although he's been active in the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the past, he now understands the true two-seed line identity message. And I'd like to welcome to the broadcast Skip Baker.
Thank you, Mike. Glad to be here.
You have an interesting story. Why don't you first give us your background, how your eyes were opened to the two-seed line identity message, and how you were called to this work of illustration on the internet?
Well, on November 16th, 2008, I got the impression that God wanted me to do some illustrations on the internet, and I thought it might have something to do with 9/11. So I went upstairs and knelt down and prayed, Lord, take this cup from me and give it to some young advanced illustrator that has $1,600 for a new Mac and Photoshop. And I thought that would make a lot of sense to God. So the next day, on the 17th of November, I got a letter from Social Security saying that I would have an extra $1,600 in my next paycheck. So that really blew my doors off. And a month later, on December 15th, I bought a new Macintosh and Photoshop and started working on learning the program and how to use it. And then about a month later, I learned about Christian identity, and of course, when I first heard about it, I accepted it instantly because it made more sense than anything I'd ever heard, that the Israelites had migrated north through the Caucasus Mountains and into Europe, and that the white people of Europe were the real Israelites of the Bible. So it was quite shocking to discover later that the Jews are actually Edomite Canaanites that didn't join the Judeans until 125 B.C., over a century before the birth of Christ. So that by the time he came, they had control of the Sanhedrin and of the temple. And so these demon seed Edomites murdered him because he wasn't an Edomite. So it's the easiest way to understand that Christ wasn't a Jew, and that he was a Judahite from the tribe of Judah, and that the Jews aren't from any of the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, or 13 if you count the Levites. So then when you realize that America was founded 2,520 years after 745 B.C., which was the seven times of punishment that ended on July 4, 1776, it's amazing how it all fits together and how Daniel 2:44 is talking about the regathering of the Israelites in America. So as I learned all of these new facts, I was just astounded at how well it fit together.
Well, a lot of people that come into this message know the truth politically, you know, they know what's happening, but they don't realize what's taking place biblically until they learn our identity. I mean, they come out of denominational churches, which I guess you did. Was this truth shocking to you, or it certainly would be different than the background you had?
Well, yeah, it was shocking because I spent a lot of time working in the art department of the Adventist Review and Herald in Washington, D.C., which is where I learned illustration and photography. But as soon as I heard the message, it made a lot of sense to me, especially Genesis 3:15, that Satan has seed, and his seed are the Canaanites, that Cain was Satan's son, and that's why he killed Abel. And, of course, then when you learn, I always wondered why there was this long period of time between Cain and Abel and Seth. Well, the womb had to be cleansed, and I think that took a number of pregnancies to cleanse Eve's womb. And, of course, when you realize that the word in Genesis 3 is seduced, but in our English Bibles, Eve said that she was lied to, that she was beguiled, but in the actual Hebrew, it says that she was seduced by the devil.
Yeah, the older Geneva Bibles in that section does say seduced.
Oh, it does in the Geneva Bible?
Yeah, there's a heading there that says the woman seduced.
Oh, amazing. So they did get it right in that translation, but then later in the King James, they covered it up and hid what actually happened, so everybody thinks that she ate an apple when it was a pear on the ground, and she had sex with the devil, and I guess she led Adam into having sex with Lilith, who was Satan's mistress. So there are these devils that are running around who are actually the descendants of Satan. And we call them Jews today. And, of course, they took over Palestine in 1948 and slapped our name on their stolen country, called it Israel. And so everybody thinks they are the Israelites. And, of course, the pastors, they're making so much money that they don't want to tell the pew warmers that the truth of what really happened back at that time. And that's how it's kept so secret. It's amazing the way Yahweh keeps it secret from most people unless he wants to invite them. So,
calls us. We don't call him.
Right, exactly.
I remember the late Jack Moore. He was involved in patriotic activities, and he was also active Christian that went around speaking to the different churches. He just couldn't figure out why everything that was evil, whether it was the Federal Reserve or the media or pushing of homosexuality, pushing of race mixing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Every time he looked at this, there were Jews behind it, what we call Jews today. And yet he was being told in the churches that they were God's chosen people. Well, he finally woke up to his identity, but when he did, he was no longer welcome in the churches around the country. He was actually a speaker for the John Birch Society. He was no longer welcome at their speaking meetings or at the different churches. Your eyes are open, but you're also persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Well, yes, and it's amazing the way you say. I mean, he chooses us. He taps us on the shoulder and opens our eyes so that we can see our identity. And yet, when you tell other people about it, they don't want to know about it. It's so against their belief system that white people just absolutely reject it. They don't want to hear the story, and they don't want to know about it. So you really can't get anywhere when you try to tell a churchgoer that the white race is are the real Israelites of the Bible, and that the Jews are actually Canaanites. When I went to Sabbath school as a little kid, you know, we knew that the Canaanites were the enemies of the so-called Jews or the Judeans. And now we find out that they're actually the enemies of Judah. And King David spent 6 months killing Jews over in Edom 3,000 years ago. But the pastors won't tell the congregation this information. And even in areas where it says that they were never slaves anywhere, in John 8:33, they told Christ that they were never slaves anywhere. So that means that they can't be the Israelites, because the Israelites were slaves in three different nations. And yet the pastors never point that out. They don't tell their congregation, oh, look here, these people can't be the Judeans. They can't be the Israelites because they were never slaves anywhere. So they carefully avoid those texts, and quite often they recite the one before it about the truth shall make you free, but then they don't go on to the next text where the Jews tell Christ that they were never slaves anywhere, which is a very immediate proof that they're not the Israelites. And then when you learn about 125 B.C., when they were defeated in Idumea by John Acranus II and forced to become Judeans, then you have the key to the whole thing, and you realize what a pivot point that date is, that it was 40 years after the first Hanukkah, which was the cleansing of the sanctuary, that fulfilled Daniel 8:14. And, of course, the Adventists teach that that was 1844 A.D., that it happened in heaven where nobody could see it, that Christ entered the most holy place the first time in 1844 and began to investigate the sins of the people. And so their pastors won't tell anybody that this pillar doctrine of Adventism is incorrect, because it was fulfilled in 165 B.C. when the Maccabees cleansed the sanctuary, went in, and the Greek king had smeared a pig's blood all over the most holy place, and it had all grown up around it, shrubs and everything. Well, they cleared all that stuff out, and they cleaned up the most holy place and rededicated it, and the Jews call that Hanukkah. Well, it happened 40 years before they even joined the Judeans, so it can't have anything to do with Jewry, even though they claim that as their big holiday. And, of course, Passover isn't Jewish, because they weren't down in Egypt with us and Moses. They were up in Edom when that happened. And they weren't there for the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, because they were still in Edom. And, of course, when Moses tried to lead the children of Israel through Edom, the Edomites wouldn't let him take that shortcut. So he had to take us around Edom to get to the Promised Land, which was a much longer trip. So it would be quite easy for the pastors to explain this to the people, but they're making too much money. They have everything paid for. They have their parish, and they live in a free house, and they've got all the expenses paid. And
some of the pastors, they're brainwashed in their seminary, but
right.
Other pastors actually know this message but don't teach it. I used to take Pastor Emery's movie, Heirs of the Promise, which is a pretty good introduction to this message, around to different churches, and I'd be invited in by pastors in order to introduce it to their church, and then supposedly they would take it from there. But I remember one time I was invited by a pastor of a Baptist church who knew that we were Israel, and showed the movie and to introduce his people and answered a few questions, and then I came back home to Arkansas. Well, what happened, it split the church down the middle. Half the church was with the pastor, but the other half of the church kicked him out as pastor and got in a new Baptist preacher. Well, those who had ears to hear went with this pastor, and then he started a different congregation. But it's just like a two-edged sword. It splits right down the middle, those who have ears to hear and those who don't.
Incredible. It's just amazing. I thought that white people would be overjoyed to hear this message when I first learned about it. And so I was in total shock to find out how they reject it and they don't want to know about it because of their brainwashing and their deep belief system that the Jews are God's chosen people and the Hebrews of the Old Testament. So they do a very clever job of pretending to be the Hebrews, and they fooled everybody, especially since they own the media and they bought up all the Bible publishing companies so they could write themselves into the Bible, and everybody thinks that Paul was a Jew, which is a lie, of course. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, which is in Iceland today, where they just arrested all the Jewish bankers. And so Paul was not a Jew, and Jesus was not a Jew. And the only Jew on his staff was Judas, who was from Idumea. And when you begin to put these little pieces together and realize what a huge fraud it is today and how all the churches are so deceived, it's Great Mystery Babylon, because that's what it is. It's a mystery because nobody knows who it is. And like the Adventists, they keep saying it's the Catholic Church. And I guess that could be partially true because all the Jesuits are crypto-Jews. Like this new pope, he was a Jesuit, and gave the signal of the hidden hand when he had his photograph taken on a streetcar, I guess it was, in South America somewhere. But they're all Freemasons and crypto-Jews that run the Jesuits, and it's amazing how well they hid the Kennedy assassination when they murdered JFK, which, of course, they now admit they did. In 1997, they admitted that they killed Kennedy. So it's amazing how well they covered it up, because Jack Ruby was really Jacob Rubenstein, who murdered Oswald to make sure he didn't go to court and prove himself innocent, which would have really destroyed their secrecy and everything. So that's why Jack Ruby did that.
Well, we've been lied to our whole lives. We've been lied to by the public media. We've been lied to by our school system and government and the textbooks we read and the books that are published. And people who wake up to the establishment lies in a lot of areas, of course, The medical field is another area. Sometimes they don't wake up to the lies that have been told in the churchianity, and,
right.
and they don't wake up to the truth. Like you were saying, it does disappoint me when people hear this marvelous truth of their identity, which is the most dynamic truth in the world,
right.
and then they reject it or it just doesn't mean anything to them. But I think what's most disappointing of all is those who receive it, sort of like the parable of the sower that Christ gave. The
right.
seeds fall by the wayside or on stony ground or among the thorns. The cares of the world just take them away. They're more interested in serving the world, making money and so on, than they are in serving Yahweh. He takes a back burner. It seems like the only time that these people want to serve him is when they're having problems and want him to help them out.
Right. If they get in trouble or they have a problem, then they'll cry out to Yahweh for help. But when it comes time to help him and get his word out, they're so lukewarm that he's going to spit them out of his mouth, and they're not going to be helpful to him at all. So it's just a shame that people don't get on fire and really try to spread the word of the truth of the two seed lines and of our identity and who we are. So it's an uphill battle to try to help people to understand what's really going on when they don't want to know.
Well, your illustrations are a simple way that relate this biblical truth to the current situation we're in. If people have eyes to see and ears to hear, I think that your illustrations that, like I said, can be found all over the internet will help people see this truth. Maybe you'd like to give us a few examples of the illustrations you've done and how they relate to the biblical truths in the current political situation.
Well, I try to get three or four quotes from Jewish sources in most of the illustrations where they admit that they're the communist and they admit they're the Edomites, and that they're not the Hebrews. So I try to get those quotes from the Jewish Encyclopedia and other Jewish sources where the reader is actually reading something from a Jewish source, so it makes it pretty irrefutable, because when they see that these statements were made by the Jews themselves, where they're admitting they're not Hebrews and they're not Israelites, that really makes it a lot easier, because if you can get three or four of those quotes in each illustration, it's a big help, because then you're not just saying something you can't prove. You're actually quoting from their own sources, and the reader can see immediately that's what they said about themselves. So they, and then I try to put in John 8:33, where they admit they were never slaves anywhere, so people can see that they weren't with Moses. And if they were never slaves anywhere, they couldn't have been with Moses. They couldn't have been at the Mount Sinai for the Ten Commandments. So I think that helps people to understand immediately. If you can get about four of those quotes in each graphic, then it really helps. And then I try to use the down arrow that I designed, showing Satan at the top and then Cain right under him and the entire Jewish seed line from Cain to the Ashkenazis, to the Pharisees, and right on up, you know, to the Bolsheviks and then to the Jews, so that they can actually see the seed line of the Jew from Cain right on down to modern times. And that way, they can visualize where they came from, and then a lot of times I'll put our seed line in blue in the same graphic where it shows that we came from Eber for Hebrews and so forth, Seth and everything, and Adam, whose name means to show blood in the face, able to blush rosy, And the prophecy of Daniel 2:44, the forming of America, so people will know that indeed America is in the Bible. They all claim, well, there's no sign of America in the Bible. Well, that's not true at all, because that's what Daniel 2:44 is talking about. The heavenly kingdom of America being formed in 1776, and all the information that comes together so that they can see our identity as opposed to the Jewish identity that is directly from Satan in Genesis 3:15 and John 8:44. So how could Christ be a Jew if he called them devils? And that's what he called Judas in John 6:70. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? So he pointed out that Judas was a devil, a demon shoe leather, as Dr. Swift used to call him. And that makes it rather helpful if people can see all these links together in one illustration.
Yeah, it should be pointed out, too, that we refer to the Edomites, but Esau married two Canaanite wives. So he had that satanic bloodline, and Christ over in Matthew 23:35 and elsewhere refers to all the righteous blood shed upon earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, etc. And
right.
This shows a continuous seed line from Cain down to the present day at that time and the present day today, I might add. So biblically, there's a lot of proof that there is a continuous satanic seed line on earth.
Yeah, exactly. Even one of the rabbis, when the state of Israel was founded, said that now they could give up their Cain association as wanderers in the earth, and now that they had their own country, they could give up that Canaanite label. Well, he was admitting that they're Canaanites, and they're not Israelites. So it's amazing how many clues are out there, especially in their own publications. I got that Jewish Almanac from 1980, where right on page 3, they admit that they're not Hebrews or Israelites. So right at the beginning, you know, they're admitting that they're not the Hebrews and they're not the Israelites, and yet they go on through the book pretending to be them. So it's just amazing how they are so self-deceived, and how they are such liars. As Christ said, they are liars, thieves, and murderers in John 8:44, and of course that's exactly what they are. They murdered tens of millions of true Israelite Christians in Russia when they took over the USSR, and yet the pastors still don't wake up and warn the flock that these are very evil people. And that's what I prayed when I got that letter from Social Security saying I'd have an extra $1,600 in my next check. I knelt down and prayed, well, if I'm going to do these graphics for you, Lord, I'm going to have to ask for your protection for my family and I. So he has sent angels every time the Mossad has tried to kill me or mine. So I got three angel stories that are kind of amazing. They tried to ram and spin my car on China Hill Road, but the angel put up an invisible barrier behind it. So when I heard the front wheel drive spinning on the pavement and looked in a rearview mirror, it looked like they were right up against my car. And then they would jerk their steering wheel to try to spin me. Well, all that did was slow them down in the ditch or out in the field. And they tried this on three different country roads, Newland Road and Cartertown Road. And it's amazing how they were held off the back of my car every time they tried to ram it. And without doubt, that was an angel doing that. And then when they tried to kidnapped my son-in-law at Patrick Henry Mall in Newport News, Virginia. He sent five angels for that. First, two guys came up to him and wanted to pray for him. And he declined because he was in a public place and he didn't want to do that. So these two guys followed him from store to store. They would wait outside until he would come out and go to the next store. Then they were joined by two more guys. Well, then he had another thing happen. A bunch of skinheads came up to him and wanted his money. He said, I don't have any money. They said, well, we'll take you to an ATM and you can draw some out for us. Well, just then, the four guys that had been following him came up behind him. They were joined by a fifth guy that was about 7 feet tall, and he looked like a barroom bouncer. And he said to the skinheads, he's with us. And, of course, the skinheads turned around and ran off. They didn't want to argue with this big guy. And I said to Jason, well, what's it like to be saved by angels like that? Because there was no doubt in my mind who these guys were. And when Jason turned around to shake the hand of the fifth big guy, he just vanished right before his eyes. And the other four just turned around and walked away. So, to my mind, it was definitely angels that came and saved Jason from these guys.
I think this brings up an important point. The difference between our race, of course, there's a physical difference and there's a mental difference, but the biggest difference is our spiritual difference. We have that implanted spirit. We're sons, and the other races are at best the created races and can only know him as creator, never as father.
Right.
And there are a lot of right-wing groups, especially, I guess, in Europe, who are not Christian, and they're not tapping into that spiritual part. And
right.
I believe, of course, in angels and divine deliverance that way. I believe in miracles. And I believe that we need to have those greater things that Christ spoke about. Well, that's the
right.
spiritual level, and our race needs to get back to him on a closer spiritual basis, which includes knowing his laws, who his people are, and this message, basically, that it says that the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come.
Right.
So it is very important that we relate to him on a higher spiritual level.
Well, yeah, when he breathed into Adam's nostrils, his spirit, that spirit is in the white race. And when they race mix and they have children with other races, that holy seed is lost forever. And as God said, a bastard shall not enter the congregation unto the tenth generation, meaning never. So if someone is from a race-mixed family, they can't even enter the temple, which is what the temple guards were for. They were there to keep everybody out. It wasn't a pure Israelite. And, of course, that's why Phinehas killed the Israelite man that was having sex with a non-Israelite woman in the tent. He grabbed a javelin and ran them both through, killed them both, and the plague that was falling on Israel was stayed by God, and God made him a special priest for doing that slaughter. So he became the Phinehas priesthood, and Yahweh said that his descendants would always be of that priesthood, that Phinehas priesthood, because of he took action to actually stop what was causing the plague in Israel, which was race mixing. And that's how important it is that we not spill our seed in a non-Israelite who will have a half-white person.
Well, it tells us over in Ezra and Nehemiah, it gives us examples of them sending the non-Israelite women and the mongrelized children back. But
right.
It says not to mingle the holy seed, but then it says put them away according to the law. Well, Right. You know, a lot of people don't realize it's against Yahweh's law to race mix.
Right.
I'd like to mention, you know, we're a little past half the program. If anybody would like to join us in the conversation tonight, you can call toll-free 877-924-7722, 877-YAWS-RACE. Or if you wanted to use the direct number, it's 678-949-5091.
Well, it's interesting that we have such a hard time convincing our fellow Israelites as to who we are, and it's such an uphill battle, which is why I started doing the graphics to try to put identity into a visual form so people could understand it better. And, of course, that's what we did in the art department at the Review and Herald. It was all about illustrating stories and putting a visual to go with the story so people could understand it a little better. So that was a good background for me to be able to work in the art department and learn illustration first and layout. And then I became the chief photographer when they lost their photographer. So I got to learn photography on top of design. So that makes it kind of easy because with these new digital cameras, you can set up a still life, or you can shoot a picture that can be used in a graphic quite easily and bring it into Photoshop. And then when you export it for the web, it cuts down the size of the graphic tremendously. It might be 6 or 7 megabytes, but you can cut it down to like 250 kilobytes, a tiny fraction of what the graphic would take up if it was just simply exported from Photoshop. So that makes it a little handier that I can send it out or put it into a PDF where I can have a couple of illustrations in a PDF with text running around the illustrations in that way, tell more of the story. So I have a lot of PDFs out there floating around that tells a great deal of the identity message.
Well, it's a lot of work, I know that. And it's a great blessing that Yahweh gave you these talents. I see that we have a caller, John from Noonda, it looks like. Anyway, from New York. You're on the air. Hello, John.
Yes.
Welcome to the broadcast.
What I want to do is I want to ask, who are the black people, and where in the Bible does it say anything about them? Because I don't want to turn my radio on till I hang up. So I just never hear this question clearly answered, and so I'm going to hang up and turn my radio back on so I don't mess this up.
Okay, well, thank you for calling. We have a book on it called The Negro and the World Crisis that goes into great detail, but briefly, what the King James calls the beast of the field, actually in the original Hebrew, its living creature, is what we call the Negro today. They had hands and couldn't touch the mountain. They put on sackcloth and cried unto Yahweh and Nineveh and so on. And there's just a variety of examples that they were with the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt and that sojourned with Israel. But they were referred to as the beast of the field, like I said, in King James, and living creature in the original. Do you have any comments on that, Skip?
Well, yeah, In Nineveh, they put on sackcloth and they prayed, cried mightily unto God with the other people in Nineveh. So they were beasts of the field with hands that can speak, and that's what they did. They joined everybody else crying out for forgiveness and mercy to God when when Jonah came and warned them that the whole city was going to be destroyed. So the whole city turned and cried out to God, including the beast of the field. And I picture them as the Africans who had been hired to work in the fields, and that's where they lived. They lived in the fields. And, of course, over the thousands of years that they were here before the Adamites, they never invented the wheel. They never invented a sail or a bridge or even a two-story building. They just they didn't do anything in the way that the Adamites did that built Europe, because you just look at Africa, how it's called the third world. Well, it's so far below the first world that there's not even a second world. So you go from the first world to the third world immediately because of how uncivilized they are and how they commit most of the crimes. So that's a very fitting description that they are beasts of the field. And as Christ said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he was telling us that his atonement was for the white race only. They are the only ones that have the law, so they are the only ones that could fall. Because if a civilization doesn't have the law, it can't be held guilty for not keeping the law. So the law wasn't given to the Africans, and it wasn't given to the Chinese. It was only given to Israelites. So I don't know what's going to happen to these people, but when you look at Revelation 1:7, it tells us that all the kindred of the earth will wail because of him when he returns. And he announces that he is here for his race only. So then you can see why everybody will be wailing when they find out they've been lied to by the pastors and told they're going to have salvation if they just believe in Jesus Christ. Well, it's not about personal salvation. It's about a national salvation. And as St. Paul said in Romans, I think, 11:26, he said that all Israel will be saved by the atonement of Christ. So we have that assurance of salvation, and the churches take that away. For instance, in Adventism, you're only saved if you're perfect. So Ellen G. White made it look like you had to be perfect and sinless in order to get through the investigative judgment, which of course doesn't exist. There's no such thing in the Bible.
Well, all the churches ask for, the denominational churches, is salvation, and by grace they have their salvation, but we're judged by our works, and only a few are called to be part of the elect and have right. That higher calling. I mean, like, this ministry is only to the elect, to that small right. remnant. And as yeah. far as blacks, I don't want to put them at this low of a level, but it's similar to a dog or a horse. They live on through their offspring. That right. not that particular black or not that particular horse or that particular dog live on, but they live on through their offspring. And if they do try to live a righteous life the best they can on their level, they're going to be blessed in this life, and then their progeny are going to be blessed in the future. So there is a blessing there, but as far as the unrighteous, they're just gone forever.
Right. And it's amazing how you have Matthew 15:24, where Christ said he came only for Israel, and then in Matthew 10:5-6, he sent his disciples out and told them, don't go to the Gentiles, just go to the Israelites. Heal the sick and raise the dead and do this and that and so on and so forth. So you have a double witness there in Matthew 10 and Matthew 15 showing that his intention was for his atonement to be only for Israel, and he called the Canaanite woman a dog. It's not right to give the children's bread unto the dogs, he said. So people miss that entirely, that he saw the other races as basically animals.
Yes, the dog races. They are entitled to the crumbs, and as I mentioned earlier, they're in Nineveh. You know, they put on sackcloth and cried, and so they are entitled to certain blessings like healing, but they aren't entitled to the children's bread, which includes eternal life.
Right.
And incidentally, if somebody would like the book, The Negro in the World Crisis, we ask for a donation of $6. I don't have it in front of me now, but I believe it's around 100 pages, so we try to do everything as close to cost as possible.
Yeah, that's a good book I want to get, and I have a couple others that are really good in identity. One was Genesis 3:15, and all about the two seed line, and it follows our migration from the Assyrians right up through the Caucasus Mountains and on into northwestern Europe, showing that we were once called Scythians, and we were the Ostrogoths and Visigoths and the barbarians and the Vikings, and so it's just amazing the different names that we had over that period of time. It kind of throws people off, because all they know is these were white people. They didn't know where these white people came from, but we didn't just drop out of the sky and land in the Caucasus Mountains. We actually came up from Assyria, went directly north to the Pass of Israel in the Caucasus Mountains, and then up the Danube River, which of course is named after the tribe of Dan, as well as Denmark, and Sweden. So you have all these clues as to where these white people came from. Well, they came from the Israelites, and as Yahweh told Abraham, his seed was going to be like the sand of the sea, and they would be unnumberable. There would be no way to count them all. So we spread out into Europe and became great kingdoms, exactly like Yahweh told Abraham that kings would come out of him. And in fact, I've got a picture of nine European kings together in one black and white picture. And of course, they were all from the tribe of Judah. They were all interrelated. The Tsar of Russia and the King of France and so forth and so on at that time were all related, and they were all from the royal tribe of David. That supplied all the kings of Europe. I guess Queen Elizabeth is the last one on that line, because her kids are race mixed. They are part Jewish. So I don't see her stepping down until the second.
Some people are predicting she's the last monarch on the throne. If anybody would like, I'll send them a copy of Prince Philip's Jewish Bloodline. I can email it, or I can send a copy if they'd like to write, you know, print it out. There's so much to learn. I mean, I'm just really proud of you, Skip, because you not only accepted the message, but you've shown yourself to be quite a student studying it, and furthermore, you know, you went out and did something about it, and a lot of people, they just kind of put the truth on the back shelf, and we were all put here basically to do our part to bring in his kingdom.
Right.
And each of us have a different calling, but a lot of people, they're all just wrapped up in the world.
Yeah, it's a shame that they don't realize that we're here to do something and to try to carry on and build up his kingdom. so that when it finally comes to fruition, that his bride will have made herself ready, and then he can return in the second coming, because his bride has woken up and made herself ready. And that's why I think the Valley of the Dry Bones will be awakened by Yahweh himself when he sends visions and dreams to young and old alike, and they wake up to their identity. And I don't think that will happen until he actually moves in and does that, and he awakens all these sleeping people that don't really have their eyes open yet. And that's why I'm hoping that my graphics go out there and that people will forward them to their friends or to their list, and get them going to where Yahweh wants to put them, because I think that he'll have the foresight to send the graphics to wherever he wants them. So when it comes time to wake up the Valley of the Dry Bones, that can take place.
Yeah, we do the planting of the seeds, and then he waters it by his Holy Spirit and wakes up who he wants to.
Right.
And I know that sometimes these reporters who like to interview us and smear us and stuff, well, they say, well, you can't win and so on, which, of course, we know we have the victory. But the
right.
point isn't whether we could win or couldn't win. The point is what's right and what's wrong. And we
right.
need to preserve truth in the world, whether it's to a small group or to a large group. We'll just preserve it. And in his timing, he'll bring it to fruition and restore the kingdom.
Well, yeah, and it's such a small remnant. Jim Wickstrom was telling me when we were down in Tennessee at the Tabernacles meeting that they used to fill up that hotel where we were staying. And here there were only three of us staying in the motel. He said they used to fill up the dining room with identity people. And he said there's been a great falling away in identity, so that there's smaller and smaller numbers everywhere. When I guess back a number of years ago, there were big crowds that would go to those identity meetings and the Tabernacles meeting and so on and so
well,
forth.
You're reaching people, and we're reaching people, and those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we
right.
do have a lot of literature here and tapes and DVDs, and you can go to our radio archives page and listen to any of our broadcasts. So it's available if you'd like to learn more or if you'd like to be a witness. We're at the top of the hour. Would you like to make a concluding remark?
Well, I just wanted to say that your radio archives page has been a tremendous blessing to me, because I've been listening to those sermons since 2010, and just can't get enough of them. Comparé and Dr. Wesley Swift and all of those people were just giants in the Word. To think that they knew all that so long ago, only based on books, when we have the Internet today, and yet they had to really study and dig to find the information they gave us. So that's really a fantastic
Yeah, of book. Course, they were spirit-filled men. Mrs. Swift told me that the reason Dr. Swift spoke so fast was because he saw the words going before his spiritual mind, and he was trying to keep up with it. But
okay.
we are at the end of the broadcast, and Skip, I'd like to thank you for being our guest tonight, and we'll just have to conclude until next time.
Well,
May Yahweh bless
you. Yahweh bless.
Okay.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening, and send a donation to cover our cost, plus help with radio time, to
Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.